More of Lake Effect now. I'm Mitch Tyke. A simple overdue library book seems an unlikely premise for a truly moving play. But somehow, playwright Glenn Berger has managed to craft a funny, poignant, and philosophical mystery out of just such circumstances. Underneath the Lintel opens tonight at the Broadway Theater Center in the Third Ward. The one-man show features actor James Ridge and is directed by Milwaukee Chamber Theater's producing artistic director Michael Wright. They joined Lake Effect's Bonnie North in the studio, and Michael Wright offered an outline of the show.
The premise is that he finds a book in the overnight slot that is 113 years overdue. It was checked out in 1873, and he receives it in 1986. And he's determined to track this guy down to give him the fine of his life. So it's him chasing clues, trying to figure out who is the culprit and how he can rectify the mistake that was made.
And get the fine.
And get the fine. That's where it starts, at least. Yes. And then he gets just hooked on this wonderful mystical journey.
And this quest.
He really
is on a quest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're almost in Joseph Campbell territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Only he's not, you know, as
he's
you
not
say,
golden.
He's not, yeah, he's not, he's not golden. And he's not, I'm going on the ship to find, blah, blah, you know, he's sort of like, finds himself on the ship.
Right.
And he's seasick. And
right.
He hates traveling. And
he hates
what we have to
food.
Eat. And,
yeah.
All these people.
Yeah. He is the most unlikely hero that you'd find.
Yeah.
You know, which, of course, makes him all the more compelling to me.
He's so lovable because he's so unusual.
There's not a lot of action per se, but there is. And so challenges for you guys in both directing and acting it and making it compelling to watch as well as listen to.
It's a detective story. This gentleman's come there on that particular evening and he's got a box or a suitcase full of evidence. It's like a trial. You know, he's just going to bring out this evidence one piece at a time and it all adds up to, and that's the important thing, is what it adds up to. And for him, you know, the thing that it adds up to is just so compelling and so important to him that he's, you know, he may as well be doing the, I don't know, the OJ trial or it's that important to him. So once we start to plug into that, I think the energy for how the things are presented started to become apparent.
He also has fun tools like a slide projector and a tape recorder and a chalkboard in addition to this suitcase full of evidence. So they're all sort of toys that he has to play with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's best about the piece is that this man, who would be the least likely person to be presenting a theatrical presentation, is your leading character. He's not necessarily comfortable or astute on stage, but he is determined and he is driven. And so excited about the task at hand.
And quirky, too, which
oh,
is
so
where
quirky.
A lot of the humor comes out. His phraseology, and
his humor
that he goes down.
The playwright talks about how he is Dutch and why this character is Dutch. Mm. And you mentioned language and you mentioned the quirkiness. And I think some of the humor comes out in that, too, because it's probably not his first language that he's
English.
Speaking in.
You
English.
Mean, yeah, he seems to know several languages. And I mean, he's got one of those minds. When you look at what he's actually bringing out in the course of the evening and the bits of history that he holds in his mind and events, my brain does not work like that at all. You know, but, oh, yeah, October 1883, this happened. And so language really sticks in his
head. He loves words, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Events and words, dates, history.
And he's weaving this tapestry that is just so amazing. And for me, reading the play, I felt like even though he needed to make this presentation, he probably hasn't woven it all quite together yet.
Right.
You know, absolutely.
It's happening in front of you.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that true? Okay,
yes.
Good. I'm glad I sensed that.
Yes, that's something we're having fun with. What is part of the plan and when he goes off on a tangent and when he comes back to sort of the plan, but he wasn't quite sure what would come next.
Mm-hmm.
So it's spontaneous. There is a thought behind it. He certainly has this evidence in, you know, chronological order, but he definitely goes off often.
And finds himself in these wonderful places that he then has to negotiate through and beyond to get to the next thing, which is so much fun to watch him do that, watch the mental action you know, of him trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to get over here now?
Yeah,
I need to get
back
here.
That was an indelicate little admission in front of people.
Right.
How do I get back to my, my evening?
I didn't mean to say that.
Really. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
So for you, sir, getting into the head of this man, what were some of the challenges as an actor?
It's really, I mean, it's very much like every other play in terms of the process. You spend a lot of time with the script and a lot of time with the words. The playwright is particularly adept at layering things in. So their ideas and word choices are, they just keep peeling back and repeating themselves. And so his, thematically, it's really, really strong and pretty evident. So things like that, you know, the number of times he talks about the brain or his head or his memory, ideas, that thing gets presented over and over and over again. So and he works in a library. And so he's obviously a person of the mind. So that becomes really important and is a door that's easy to walk through as an actor trying to find out who this person is. And then also, again, good playwriting. There's part in the play where you actually find out what's broken his heart at one point. That's the thing I'm always looking for. That's part of how I'm built. Like once the character really breaks my heart, it's like, okay, now I know. Now I know this person and I have empathy for them and I can build everything on top of that. I'm all they have to look at. You become really aware of – there's a tendency to want to dance really, really fast. To be interesting, and you have to fall back on what is the process? What is the process? Go back to the words and try to connect all of the dots so that I eventually have the story in my hands, and then trying to figure out how to make that interesting. Once we really know the story, then to connect up and there's humor there. Let's mine that. You know, let's make that really easy for the audience to grab hold of and to play in and don't get too lost on these sidetracks. You know, we lose track of you there. And so we're doing that kind of polishing now where it's we're really aware of this is how we may be able to bring the audience along on this journey that he's taking.
Right. So it's not just something performed in front of them, but that they're actually going with
him. Hopefully that they're leaning forward. You know, what is he? What's next? What could he possibly – what's the next piece of evidence? Or holy cow, I didn't know that about him. And
right. We're also really embracing the idea that this man has rented the Studio Theater and the Broadway Theater Center for one night, and he only has these few toys to play with. It really is going to be a blank slate with a few old set pieces tossed in the back and to the sides to show that, you know, he's passing through.
Mm-hmm.
So we really are taking that to the extreme. So we really talk about even everything he touches and uses. And that Jim has a personal investment in all of it. And that's been kind of fun because so often as an actor, you just get handed. Here's your costume. Here are your props. Deal with them. We're doing a lot of building this as, you know, a team because these are his tools in a big, big way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only thing he has to tell the story.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have anything else. And as you say, you know, this is sort of a rundown, at least as the description in the play, it's this rundown hall that he's rented for the night. And, and there
the
he
studio
is.
The studio theater.
It's not that rundown. But yes, it's like some nondescript place that, you know, you hope that some people show up. And isn't that what we all want, is somebody to hear our story?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Please show up and hear my story.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's cool. At one point in the play, he says straight out, I'd never been to a play before. You know, he's not culturally fed. And yet in the presentation of all this evidence, he's got props and he's got sound cues and he's making a piece of theater. He's making a piece of art out of this evening.
Is there a little bit that you wouldn't mind doing for us?
Here we go. One morning, 1986, one fine and miserable and typical morning, nothing to give an inkling of what was to come, I found this book in the pile. We'll label it Evidence Number 1. It is a Baedeker's travel guide in deplorable condition. Well, I was just about to give the little card my stamp with the old stamper when my eyes suddenly sprang out of my head and rolled about on the floor and under the table. And why? Because I saw that this book was checked out in 1873 and never returned till it was returned. Do you understand? That's 113 years overdue. Astounded out of my wits, I was. It must have been the great-great-grandson returning the book, a blot on the family only now being remedied, and returned in the overnight slot, no less. Appalling. I mean, if you have a book 113 years overdue, you go to the counter, you admit your lapse, you pay the fine. Well, whoever it was, he wasn't getting away with it. Not a chance. I checked the files. Oh, yeah, we keep all the files. And I found the page, and here it is. Evidence number 2. Baedeker's Travel Guide, checked out November 12, 1873, by capital A, period. That's the name. Capital A, period. About as vague as they come, but never mind. What's his address, so I can send him the fine of his life? Post Office Box 121, Ding Tao.
Actor James Ridge performing a section of Underneath the Lintel. He and director Michael Wright spoke with Bonnie North. The one-man show is produced by the Milwaukee Chamber Theater and opens tonight at the Broadway Theater Center's Studio Theater in the Third Ward. There is a link to more information from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Meanwhile, it is the second weekend of shows for an ambitious high school production. We'll hear about one school's staging of Phantom of the Opera and the distinct challenges some of its cast members surmounted. That's next on Lake Effect.